God is going to cause you to change, and he's going to cause you to take your promised land, but you got to quit looking for a get-rich-quick scheme. Come on, somebody. God is thinking peace of you and not evil. That when he thinks about your life, he's not mad at you. The strongest people are people that understand togetherness. All throughout your life, you're on this journey to go from me to we.
Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church.
Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Pray with me on your knees under the willow trees and pray with me for what we need. Might not be money, might not be gold. Let your love release your soul. Come on and
are you guys ready for the word today? All right, let's jump right in. We've been in a series now called Prayer Changes Everything. And the last couple weeks, we've been talking about a very important topic of how not to miss God, okay? Or in what we've been talking about, the seven ways that you can miss God. And we're going to start from our text from a few weeks ago, Genesis 28, 10 through 16. They're going to put it on the screen, and let's read. It says, now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went to Haran. And so he came to a certain place. Everybody say a certain place. And stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. And he laid down in that place to sleep. And then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. Its top reached to heaven, and there angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. And the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham and Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. And you shall spread to the west and to the east, to the north and south. And in you and all your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Behold, I'm with you. Wherever you go. I'll bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I've done what I have spoken to you. And then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And we talked about this, the translation that we're using, surely the Lord is in this place, but I almost missed God. And the reason we're spending so much time on this is we've been in a series talking about prayer changes everything. Because my desire as your pastor, as your shepherd, is to encourage you strongly to develop a prayer life. To make sure that you and God every day are connecting in the secret place. Because I find in American Christianity, we rely too much on the gathering, okay? Now, let me say this. I'm a pastor. I believe in the gathering. Come on. The Bible tells us that the new wine is in the cluster, okay? There are things that we get in the gathering. Don't buy this hype when people say, oh, I'm a Christian, I just don't go to church. That don't make no kind of sense. Oh, come on, somebody, amen? Can I speak some sense to you today? That's like saying, I'm a fish, I just don't like water. I'm a tree, but don't put that dirt around me. I'm a Christian, I just don't go to church. No, church is the environment which we grow in. It's where we receive a lot of nutrients. It's where we're challenged to change. This is why people stay away from it, because people don't like change. Because can I tell you something about change? Change is painful. Come on, how many remember when you were an adolescent and you get them growing pains in the middle of the night? Some of you got kids and they crying in the middle of the night because their legs hurt. You don't want to take them to the doctor. Son, that's growing pains. Go back to bed. Pray over them and send them back to the room. Why? Because growth is going to cause pain. That's why your first couple years of marriage are kind of tough at times. Come on, just look straight ahead. She won't know I'm talking about your marriage right now. Because you're changing. You're learning not to be so selfish. We don't always watch what you watch. Come on, somebody, amen? We ain't always going to eat what you want to eat. Now you got to eat what she wants to eat. And she likes to eat healthy. Suck it up, buttercup. Amen. You got married. You want to go see the latest Star Wars flick. She thinks that's for nerds. So you watching the next J-Lo movie that comes out. You know the story already. Guy gets girl. They live happily ever after. But you're going to sit through it for 2 hours. And it's going to be painful. I got a witness right here. But you're growing. Amen? And so the gathering's important. But what is much more important is your connection with God on your own. Too many Christians just rely on Sunday morning. God wants to meet with you at home. God wants to talk to you about you at home. God wants to give you secrets at home. God wants to tell you how to succeed in business, in marriage, in life. God wants to change you at home. And so what happens a lot of times is we don't have a connection with God and we just living off of Sunday mornings. And then what you're doing is you're making me your dealer. See, some of you got that. Oh, okay, I got that. Because you had a dealer. Some of y'all, you don't know what that means, right? What that means is you got to come to Sunday and get your fix. Get your hit of God. And so you come in here every week just struggling to make it. I got to get my hit. And then, we hit you with the Holy Ghost. Come on. And now you got a pep in your step till about Wednesday. That's when the wheels fall off. And you back to cussing. You back to acting a fool. You back to calling up your old ex. You back to all this crazy until you can get back on Sunday to get your fix. So you make me not your pastor, but your pusher. Come on, you guys know it's true, right? It's just like that for people. But I'm trying to shepherd you. I don't want you to just rely. If all I cared about was people in the church, then that would be okay with me. But you know what I'm going to have to give account for is that I teach you guys how to connect with Jesus. Listen, we call this church Elevate Life because your life should be getting better every year. Should be getting better and better and better. You should be getting lifted. You should be elevated. The longer you're here, the better life should be. We're on a journey. We're getting high for real. Come on. We're going higher. Hey, we're supposed to be. But I'm just telling you, if you're just going to live on Sundays, it won't work for you. Because what God desires from you is your heart. And he desires what everyone desires in a relationship. Come on, you remember the song, Quality Time. Come on, who was that sung that song? You desire quality time. And someone said, sing some more. Well, no. I'm good. I think that was Tevin Campbell. Might have been. He sung some of them soft male songs. You know what I'm saying? God desires quality time. He wants alone time with you. He wants you to choose him over TikTok. He wants you to choose him over the game. He wants you to choose him over the bed. Ooh, that's a hard one right there. You want to sleep, but you're like, nah, God, I choose you right now. That's what he desires. And when you make that choice, he meets with you. Amen? So that's what we're after. That's why we're spending so much time. Pray. And some of you going, man, well, we should talk about another topic. No, but you don't understand how many hard-headed folks we got that hear it but won't do it. And so I'm going to labor a little bit till your hard heart becomes soft to God's invitation. Because his invitation, see, he's trying to do something in you. He's trying to get blessing to you. You say, well, why does God want me blessed so much? Because he paid such a high price for the blessing that you're not taking advantage of. Could you imagine taking on a second job to buy your son or your daughter, your little mijito, a brand new car, the car of his dreams? Because, you know, you just love him so much. You get a second job. You work 2-3 years. You buy him the car, and he don't drive it. He don't drive it. He's like, thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. But, you know, I really like walking. How frustrated would you be? Yeah, that's how we are. That's how we are with God's blessing. You'd be doing everything in your power. Son, just take the keys. You're going to love it. Wait till you hear how that thing purrs. Oh, that's going to be so. And you'd be so trying to get them in that car. Not some of you, though. Some of you are like, cool, I'm taking it back to the lot. I'm selling it then. Forget you. But I'm taking it. Aren't you glad God's not like you? Come on. I'm glad he ain't like me. I'll tell you that. But God's like trying to push you to the blessing because he gave his only son so that you and I could walk in our bedrooms, close the door, and meet with him one-on-one. See, you don't understand what the Jews had to go through before Jesus' blessing. They didn't get to meet with God like that. They had to go through a priest. They had to go through somebody to get a blessing. They had to hear from a prophet for a word. You and I can close the door and meet with God, talk to God, receive impartation from God, receive peace from God, all those things. But yet too many Christians, and I'm not even talking about the world, too many Christians don't take advantage of that invitation. Amen? And here's the thing. It's an invitation to you as sons and daughters of God. It's an invitation to you, to us. And so we're looking at why it's so important. It's so important to be connecting with God daily because you just might miss God. And that's why we got to get rid of wrong thinking that says, well, if God wants me to have it, he'll just give it to me. No, God wants your involvement in the transaction. God wants your faith, with it, which is your action, acting on his word. We don't just get to sit around and watch blessings fall on us. Now, don't go the other way, because the other way says, well, I got to work for every blessing that I get. And if I just am good enough and I do enough, then God's blessing. I'm not saying that either. See, we always want to go to one ditch or the other. What we're saying is there's a sweet spot in the middle where God wants to meet with you and be able to impart to you blessing. Are you guys catching this today? And what makes us sensitive to God is meeting with him. So we start with this story here a few weeks back about Jacob and how Jacob is in a certain place. He wasn't any place. He was in a certain place. Come on, some of you need to catch that. See, a lot of Christians like to go to church wherever they want to go. Whoever has the best music, whoever is this, whoever is that. But how many know you got to find your certain place? There's some preachers that preach better than me, but they're not your pastor. There's some churches that got better worship than us, but you know what? That's not your church. Churches that might have more comfortable seats. Come on, somebody. Might be in a more comfortable building. But see, you've got to know where your certain place is. Because it's in your certain place that you'll meet with God. And that is why whenever we do a newcomers class, at the end of it, we always challenge them, hey, listen, we're here for you, we love you, but you need to pray and see if God is calling you to this church. And if he's calling you to this place, you need to be in that certain place. Because Jacob was in a certain place, and he was there all night, it says. And the Bible says he took a stone and placed it at his head as a pillow. How many know it wasn't comfortable? Because sometimes the certain place you're in is uncomfortable. How many know sleeping on a stone is uncomfortable? He would have much rather had a nice, comfy pillow. But he didn't. Because many times a certain place is going to cause you to be uncomfortable. And you got to learn to overpower that desire for comfort for a desire for God. This is why a lot of Christians miss God, because they love comfort more than God. And you got to love God more than comfort. There are times where you're going to be uncomfortable smack dab in the will of God. But if all you're looking to do is be comfortable, you will never grow. Because growth, as we said earlier, is uncomfortable. It's downright painful. If you're going to make friendships, it's going to be uncomfortable for you. If you're going to get around people, if you're going to serve, it's going to be uncomfortable for you. But what happens when you're in a certain place and you're willing to be uncomfortable? Well, the rest of the scripture sets it up. God will meet with you. And heaven will come down from earth. And you will connect with God in that certain place where you're not afraid to be uncomfortable. Are you catching this? So God begins to speak to Jacob, releases blessing into his life, gives him insight into why he's alive, giving him purpose, all in an uncomfortable certain place. But here's what happens. He wakes up and he gets a powerful revelation. He says, "The Lord is in this place, and I almost missed him." See, I see some of you in this place every Sunday, but you're missing God. You're missing God. And we want to correct that today. How many want to correct that? Because, see, it shouldn't matter. And here's the problem. See, when people like to live sloppy, they just like to go, well, if I miss God, well, there's grace. He's the God of second, third chances. He's all that. But there are still consequences to missing God. And why would you choose the long route when God can get you there in a day? And I'm just telling you, some of you guys have been in circumstances and seasons, and you're just going, well, I'm just waiting on God. No, God is waiting on you to wake up. God is waiting on you to stop missing him when he shows up. Stop choosing comfort over God. Are you tracking with me today? See, like I said, you know, people that lose a lot develop this mentality, oh, well, I guess it just wasn't meant to be. I guess it just wasn't meant to be. No, listen, you've got to pursue God. Don't settle for anything less. Because you've got to have a downright fear of missing God. Listen, so we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Number one, the first way you can miss God is missing God in others. Not liking who God is using in your life. The vessel that God is using. You can miss God. We talked about that. You can go back and listen to that on the podcast. The second thing we talked about is we miss God because of doubt. We just don't believe. We're praying for things, but not really believing for the answer. And we looked at Peter, and when he was in jail, and the church was praying for him, and God answered their prayer. So Peter comes to their door, knocks on the door, and they don't even want to answer the door because they don't believe it's Peter. Even though they've been praying, they don't believe the answer is there. Even though they've been praying, they don't see it. And there's so many of us, because why didn't they receive it or be able to open that door? It's because they were full of doubt. The guy says, hey, I think it's Peter. They say, no, it ain't. He's in jail. That's why we're praying. No, he goes, hey, I really think it's him. Man, cut it out. See, they weren't believe. They should have been like, it's Peter. God answered my prayer. And so many of us are like that. Some of us have been praying for healing in our aunt, in our uncle, in our cousin, in our kid. But will you bring them Friday night? You've been sick in your body, fighting diabetes and high blood pressure and whatever else. And then you hear, oh, Pastor Raymond Mui with a healing gift is going to come. Yeah, but I probably won't come. Because you don't believe. You don't believe. Oh, yeah, it's hitting too home. Y'all with me on this time? We get all emotion right. Don't say I don't believe. I'm just telling you. If you're believing for healing right now in your body, then you should be here Friday night. If you've got a sick tia or tio, you need to bring them Friday night. Are you tracking with me? Even if it's a little thing, bring them. Tell your neighbor right now, bring them Friday night. Because you just may miss God. Amen? We also talked about the third thing. Third way we miss God is by focusing on the wrong thing. And some people have a terrible, terrible habit of focusing on the wrong thing. You know, we call those people a glass half empty people. Now, let's just call them what it is. You're downright negative. That's all you are. You're negative. And you need to start focusing on the right thing. Because if all you see is negative, then that's all you'll see. You're married to a good spouse, but you can't see it. Because all you see is their faults. Oh, come on, somebody. All you see is what they do wrong. You got some great kids, but all you see is what they do wrong. And if that's all you focus on, then that's all you're gonna be able to see. Are you tracking with me today? So we talked about that. You gotta learn to focus on the right things. Philippians chapter 4. Focus on those things that are true and righteous and noble. We also talked about 2 Kings, the story of the prophet, where he was with the servant, and the servant's freaking out because the circumstances look bad. And the prophet just prays a simple prayer. God, open his eyes so that he could see what I see, so that he could see what I'm focused on. And God opens his eyes and he sees behind them are fiery chariots, armies of heaven. Why couldn't he see it? Because he was focused on the wrong thing. Just like some of you guys. Are you more focused on the doctor's diagnosis than you are the scriptures? Are you more focused on the pain in your body, or are you focused on how God says you can be healed? Just asking. Because if you could change your focus onto what God says rather than how you feel, some change might come your way. Something just might turn. Now listen, I don't want to speak this out of an arrogant heart. I know it's tough. I know it's tough to believe for healing when your body's in pain, when things are wigging out inside of you, when you get that doctor's report and he comes back with that cancer report or that sickness report or that thing that says, hey, you're going to be like this the rest of your life. You can totally focus on that, or you can learn to focus on what God says about your situation. Are you tracking with me today? And I'm just telling you, if you don't have a prayer life, this is going to be really difficult for you. Amen? So let's go on. We also talked about we miss God when we don't like the word he gives to us. Did we cover this one last week? Number 4, right? We talked about we miss God when we don't like the word that he gives to us. Many times, guys, you've got to understand when you have a prayer request, God doesn't just answer your prayer, he gives you an instruction. I'm going to say that again because some of you didn't catch that. Whatever you're praying for, don't just look for the answer, look for an instruction. Because remember, God is your father. He loves to work with his children. So, you know, I don't know where we get this thing, I'm just going to pray and it's just going to happen. You got to learn to ask, and then you got to learn to look for an instruction. What is it you're praying for? There's probably an instruction tied to it. But see, like I said earlier, you're missing God because you don't like the word he's giving you. Oh, Father, I just need a husband. And then God says, okay, then what I want you to do is don't date anybody in this season. I rebuke you, devil. You get out of my life. That's what he did for me. He did that, said that. I said, God, I'm praying for a wife that's going to be able to handle the call of God on my life. And I would be able to go to the nations and we'll be able to do ministry together. God said, okay. Then for this season right now, I don't want you to date anybody. I didn't know that season was going to take me 8 years. And I got to say this, I had options too. I wasn't busted up. It's not that I couldn't get a date. I had options. We don't like the word that he gives to us. But we've got to learn to be open to the instruction. We talked about Naaman. Naaman, this rich, powerful general in the army, comes to the prophet, and he's expecting a warm greeting by this prophet because he's coming and gracing his home with his presence. And the prophet doesn't even get out of his bed. He sends a servant. And Naaman's upset. He's offended. Oh, that church didn't even make me feel welcome. Oh, who does that prophet think he is? They didn't even take care of me or acknowledge me. Now, you know what the prophet said? Hey, go ahead and tell him to go over to the Jordan River and dip 7 times. Naaman was furious. But thank God there was somebody in his camp that had some sense. It said, Naaman, why don't you just calm down? You got an illness that is incurable. What have you got to lose if you just do what he says? Some of you are in situations you ain't never going to fix on your own. You ain't never going to fix them on. So why not just do what God says to do? Well, Pastor, what does God say to do? Read your Bible. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Spend time with God every day. Read his word. Oh, come on, somebody. Some of you won't do the basics, but you want God to do this amazing thing in your life, but you haven't followed any instructions. Think about it. What is it that you've been praying for more than anything that you want God to do in your life? Get in your prayer closet and listen for an instruction. When we prayed for this building and we needed to raise those funds, man, we were praying, God, send the money, and God gave us instructions. He said, I'm going to send the money, but here's what you need to do. You know, a big portion of what he called us to do right at the beginning was sow into another church that was in a building fund. It didn't make no sense. God, how am I giving money away when I'm asking you for money? But it was an instruction. It was an instruction I believe was the beginning of God opening up the gates of heaven and pouring out to us what we needed. We miss God when we don't like the words he gives to us. Amen? And today, let's get these last three. Are you ready? I got 15 minutes. I'm going to get you out of here. Number 5, we miss God when we don't see him or sense him. We miss God when we don't see him or sense him. And this is found in Luke chapter 24, 13, all the way to 31. You could read it on your own. But basically, it's a story of Jesus having been crucified, and he's walking down. Actually, these two disciples are walking down the way, and they're complaining. They've just seen their Lord crucified. They've seen this terrible thing happen. All that they were working for 3 years is gone. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up, and they don't even recognize him. They don't even recognize him. Now, I believe Jesus had some shape-shifting powers, like in the X-Men or whatever, you know. But read the scriptures. It's powerful, because he just comes alongside of them and it says they didn't recognize him. And they just, they're sitting there and they're complaining and they're angry and they're sad and all these emotions. They're going through all this stuff because it was traumatic. It was traumatic. And then look what Jesus says here in verse 13. He says, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished from their sight." So he's kicking it with them, and they're just crying. They're all upset. It's, how are we going to pay our bills now? The ministry is gone. People think we're stupid for following him. They're just complaining, and Jesus just says, "Man, I can't take it no more. Didn't I teach you guys what the scripture said that was going to happen?" But then something important happens right here, and this is what you need to catch. He begins to have communion with them. Where do we have communion with God? In prayer. In prayer. And in that symbol of giving them the bread and breaking it, it's a lesson to us that when you're in time with God, your eyes will be open. When you're spending time with God, your senses will come alive and you'll be able to hear and see things that you could not see if you weren't spending time with God. And this is why your pastor is trying to teach you. Listen, coming to church is great. Keep doing it. But you need to learn how to connect with God on your own. Because it's there he'll open your eyes so that you could see that all the pain you've been going through, all the complaining you're doing, you could stop doing that because Jesus is with you. I know you're alone, but Jesus is with you. I know you're in pain, but Jesus is with you. And look at this heartbreaking scripture here. It really breaks my heart because he breaks the bread, blesses it, gives it to them, and then their eyes are open and they see him, and then he's gone. You know what happened? They missed God because they are too busy complaining, too busy focused on the negative, too busy to pray. And so the whole time they're suffering in pain, in depression, in all this other stuff, they realized he was with us all along. We just couldn't see it. And what I just described is some of you. You're going through hell Monday through Friday. And all you do is want to complain about it, talk about how bad it is. And all God is trying to get you to do is focus back on his word. It's what he did to the disciples. "Hey, guys, doesn't the word say I was supposed to suffer and sacrifice all this stuff? Why are you down?" He communes with them and he breaks the bread. Their eyes are open, but then he's gone. Guys, let's not miss God because we're too focused on what is wrong. Let's not miss God because we're too focused on all these other things. Let's not miss God because we don't see him or sense him. And the reason you don't see him or sense him, I'm telling you, is because you're not spending enough time with him. Are you catching this today? Don't miss God in this message. All that you're going through, all the pain that's involved in your season, all that you're laboring for, Are you more focused on the problem, the loneliness, the lack? Get your focus off of God. And that's what having a prayer life will do. It has a way of recalibrating your thinking, your focus. Yes, God, things are tough, but I have you. And if God is for me, who could be against me? Come on, somebody. I feel rejected. I feel dejected. But Lord, when I come in your presence, you show me how I am. You show me that I'm wonderfully made. Father, you show me I'm a blessing and not a curse. Are you tracking with me? Without that, you're going to get all those other feelings. Insecurity. Is he going to leave me? When is she going to leave me? Who is she with right now? Where are you? You ever been in one of them relationships? They got to know where you're at 24/7. If you ain't married, run. If you are married, run to counseling, because that fool's got a problem. I said, that fool's got a problem. Got to know where you're at 24/7. You got to know it all, devil, is what you got. You got an insecure baby boy right there. Insecure baby boy. Who are you with? What's that in the background? Fool, I'm at work. People working around me. Who's that man's voice? That is Harry. He's 52 years old. I don't want nothing to do with him. Oh, I know you like Harry dudes. No, his name is Harry. You know we'll fix that insecurity? Time with God. Time with God. Let's keep going. I want to get through these today. Number 6, this is a big one, guys. I need you to lean in on this one. We miss God when we're tired. We miss God when we're tired. We live in a hustle culture. We live in this culture that says, I'll sleep when I'm dead. That's stupid. Can I just tell you that? That's not sleep either. You're dead. Sleep is for the living. When you're dead, you're dead. You ain't waking up. You know, no days off. You see them fools on Insta. No days off. You better take a day off. You need a day off. Your kids are begging you take a day off. Your wife definitely wants you to take a day off. Because we miss God when we're tired. Some of us are just working too much. For what? For what? Oh, no, I got to get that bag. No, fool, you need to get God. What does Matthew 6:33 say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and I will add all these things unto you. That's South Sac translation, God saying, I got you. Just put me first. I got you. But God, I'm really trying to get this new house. I got you. Just put me first. God, I'm trying to send my kids to college. I got you. But you better put me first. But what do we do instead? We work, 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 work. And we go. We just out there. We just out in them streets, working, got no time for the right things. We've got to be careful for that. Why? Because Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, most of you know the Ten Commandments. And one of those commandments is this. Go ahead and put it on the screen. Remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. It is in the Ten Commandments that one day a week is to be separated unto the Lord. One day a week, we need to rest. Now, y'all know the Ten Commandments, right? Don't sleep with anybody else's wife. In other words, don't commit adultery. Don't lie, don't steal, don't kill, all those things. We all know not to do that. Why are we okay violating this one? Food for thought. Man, we work real hard trying to keep those other nine. Oh, yeah, yeah, I ain't doing none of that. Oh, that's my old me, old me. But then we keep this one to ourselves. Do you rest? Nah, man, I got to get out there. You know, I ain't got time for church. I ain't got time for God. I ain't got time to rest. I'll sleep when I'm dead. See, we're keeping that one for ourselves. And we need to get rid of it. Because you're missing God because you're too darn tired. And let me tell you what else you're missing. You're missing out on your wife. You're missing out on your husband that you prayed for. Now you ain't got time for him? You know how many parents I've prayed for? We're trying to have a baby. We're trying to have a baby. That baby comes and you working all the time? Well, because I got to provide. No, what you need to provide is your body in their life. Because they need you more than that money. But you can't see it because money's your God. We miss God because we don't rest. Hey, it's a principle even in ministry. I see some of my colleagues quitting the ministry, falling in sin. And you want to know why? Because many times we run ourselves down. Listen, my wife and I, we're intentional on getting rest. We're very intentional on it. Taking time away with our family and doing trips. And we have a very busy schedule. But we learned a few years ago, usually right when during this process, that man, if we don't take care of us, we can miss God. We can miss God. Now, I'm not advocating quitting your job and just, I got to rest now. I ain't got to. You just lazy. Don't jump on this. Don't attach laziness to what I'm preaching right now. Because you do need to have a drive still. You do need to have a go-getting spirit. You do need to work hard. But God says, rest. Because if you don't rest, you can miss God. Let me give you another scripture. Exodus 32:1 says, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come make us a God that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. What's going on in this story? What's going on in this story is Israel got tired of waiting. Israel didn't want to wait and do things God's way. So they went to work and they made it happen themselves. And when you read the rest of the scriptures, you know they took all the gold from the camp, melted and made and crafted a golden calf. And as I've taught you this before, it wasn't they were making a foreign god. They chose to call that God Yahweh. And they said, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. You know what they did? By their works, they created God in their image. Why? Because they could not wait on God. And let me just tell you something. We live in America right now where Christians won't wait on God. Translation, they don't pray. And so they begin to make a Christianity that fits their hustle. God wants you to spend time with him every day. No, I'll just go to church, I'll serve, I'll tithe, and then I can get on with my life. That, my friends, is what Israel did in Exodus 32. And can I just tell you, they missed God. They missed him. And instead of serving the creator of the universe, the one who invited them to come have fellowship, they were totally at peace serving a God that could do nothing for them. So the Bible says they danced around the calf and they worshiped him. And their worship was in vain because that God wasn't going to do anything on their behalf. But it did calm their nerves. It did calm their conscience and allow them to get to work the way they wanted to. Guys, let's not make this mistake, because that kind of religion will tire you out. I've been in ministry 30 years, and we do our best around here to take care of our staff, our volunteers, because church people many times make Christianity about the works, and then they get burned out. You know how you get burned out? By not having a prayer life. By not waiting on God at the mountain. By trying to make it happen yourself. What begins to happen? You get tired. Let me tell you something, people. You've got to learn this principle. You don't rest when you're tired. You rest to not get tired. Let me say that again. You don't rest when you're tired. You rest so that you don't get tired. Some of you haven't rested in a long time. Some of you haven't been on a vacation in years. Listen, if you have a wife, you need to take her on vacation. I should have got more amens from the wives. My God. Y'all sleeping. I was a test. The women are sleeping today. Trying to help my sisters out. Well, easy for you to say, Pastor, we're on a fixed income. Is God on your side? Does God love you enough to provide money for a vacation for you? Why do you think we preach tithing and offering so strong to you? Because there's blessing tied to that. When you give to God, he gives back to you. If you're a tither in this house, you can go to God and say, God, this is what I need. And God looks at what you've done with what he's given you, and he brings it back into your life. But you need to rest. A vacation is not a weekend. I'm just going to let that marinate right there. Just let it soak away. A vacation is not staying at your tía's house. It's not visiting your uncle at the farm. That's not a vacation. Going to a funeral. It's not a vacation. Come on, Mexican people know what I'm talking about right there. Only vacations you took is going to a funeral somewhere. Oh, we're going to stack a few extra days. Have a vision to rest. Take your kids places. Rest. Man, I can't do that. Well, that's why I'm telling you. That's why I'm preaching this. So you could get a vision. You could get a vision. Listen, I've said this before, and this is real heavy on my heart because you guys know we just sent Serge away. But somebody told me when we first had kids, they said, hey, I think it was Pastor Charles. He said, hey, never forget this. He said, you only have 18 summers with them. Spend them wisely. Only 18. So we did our best every summer to take them away somewhere. Because they're out of school, you know. They don't have to be in school and stuff. So we would do our best every year to do something. And every year, I just believed God it was going to come in. Amen. Just believe God. Okay, God, we're going to try. And plan. How many know you can plan stuff? Yeah. See, some of y'all are going to leave here. We're going on vacation next week. It's going to be a lame vacation. You got to plan that thing. You know what I'm saying? So we would plan and believe. And now last year, we went on vacation. It was our first summer that Serge wasn't able to come because he was in school now. He actually joined us for one day, you know. And it hit me. It was like, wow, we really did use up all our vacation, all our 18 summers there. It's a word for somebody out there. It's a word. But you know, we use them and we use them wisely. Why? Because rest is important. It's so important you got to invest in it. It's important you invest in it weekly, monthly, and yearly. And that's also, guys, because God commands it. And if I would never try and think about violating the other 9 commandments, I got to treat rest in that same list. And I got to begin to repent for not resting, for not taking time for my family, my spouse, my God. Are you tracking with me today? And the last thing here, number 7, the last way we miss God is because we're full of pride. This is probably the biggest one right here. We're full of pride. Jonah said this, Jonah chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. God says to Jonah, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. We got some Jonahs in here today, running from God, playing games with God, not living right, but you come into church. We got some Jonahs in here today. Let me tell you something. Be careful. You do not want a whale experience. You know, we read that story like, oh, he got swallowed by a great fish. Oh, we think of Pinocchio. Lighting fires in there. You do not want a whale experience. But you're playing games. And you're calling it the grace of God. No, my friend, it's disobedience. It's disobedience. You know, there's one unpardonable sin in the Bible. And people always get tied up on this. Oh, I think I've committed the unpardonable sin. No, my friend, the only unpardonable sin that there's no forgiveness for is you not coming to Jesus. That's it. One day there won't be forgiveness for that sin. And some of us play games with that. You know, I go to church, but you're also, oh, I don't believe this, I believe that. And you develop your own little belief systems. Man, you're missing God. And you keep playing that game, you may miss him for all eternity. Jonah was running from God, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going down to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Y'all see the pattern? Down, down, down. He missed God. And why did he miss God? Because he didn't want to do what God was asking him to do. You can make all excuses you want. You could come up with all the things you want to come up with. Well, I'm not ready. I'm this, I'm that. No, my friend, you're full of pride. And you play with that pride enough, you keep that pride around your neck enough, and it will drag you to hell. Because that pride will keep you from listening to God. Pride says, I want what I want. And I'm not willing to give it up. And can I just tell you, for the price of the kingdom, we all gave up something. Amen. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. We gave up our old lifestyle. The guy that's up here right now, I ain't the same guy I used to be. You know what? That was the price. I gave that up. And some of you, because of the pride hardening your heart, well, I could do it this way, I could do it that way. No, my friends, Jesus said there is only one way to get to the Father. He has the words of life. I wish I could get a church full of people that would respond the same way that the disciples responded to Jesus when Jesus said to them, do you guys want to leave me too? 1,000 people left Jesus' church. And Jesus turns to his staff and goes, y'all want to go too? Because you can. Come on, somebody. Jesus was a bad man. I don't need y'all. You want to go? Get on out of here. And what they say, Jesus, where are we going to go? You got the words of life. We're in this thing. That, my friends, is the heart that God is looking for. And there's one thing that the Bible says that God must resist, and it's pride. He can't do anything as long as pride is there. And when pride is in your heart, you will miss God every time because you won't like what he says. You refuse to do what he wants, and you'll stay doing things your way, and you will stay in the same condition with a dream of things getting better. See, the problem is this. Even if you get more money, you're still going to be sad because money don't fix that. You don't believe me? Look, have we not learned anything from reality TV? How much money them Kardashians got? All unhappy. The NBA, millionaire athletes that can have anything they want. Each team has a team psychiatrist because they realized they were dealing with so much depression on these teams. I've said it before. What are these guys depressed about? They got million-dollar contracts. They can have the prettiest women in the world. They can go anywhere they want, buy everything they want, yet they're depressed. You want to know why? Because the only answer for that is Jesus. Let's not miss God. Let's not miss God. And I'm telling you, a prayer life is going to help you. Open your eyes. A prayer life is going to help you recognize when it's time to rest. A prayer life is going to help you discern God's instructions. So whatever he tells you to do, you will do it. Even if it feels contrary to what's going to bring the answer. Let's stand on our feet. Father, I just come before you today, Lord. And Lord, I did my best to convey to everybody here the invitation that you're giving them to spend time with you. The invitation, Lord God, to be in your presence so that we don't miss you. Because Lord, we can miss you and there are consequences. If you're here today, and you're not living for God, don't miss this moment. It's your moment. Let's cast aside the pride. Well, I don't want anybody to see me. Man, cast aside the pride. And if you're here today and maybe you've been a Jonah running from the Lord, down, 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 and you spend every day lying to yourself that things are getting better and they're not. You're one decision away from your relationship with God being restored and the life that you're really after coming in to fruition.
I think that this is your way of telling me something.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.